Good evening, young disciples.
Good
evening, sir. Well, it was threatening that it might rain a little bit, but we're very thankful it didn't, aren't we? Well, we want to continue looking at Joseph. We're going to look at a different phase of his life tonight, a phase that is maybe what is the most well-known about Joseph's life. But I just want to review, because the more we review, the more we will remember. So on Sunday night, we looked at Joseph. And what did we look about Joseph on Sunday night? What type of man was he? A sent man, wasn't he? God had a plan for his life. Even though it did not look like it, God had a plan for Joseph's life. And then on Monday night, what did we see? What did Joseph do on the way to Egypt? Surrendered. Joseph was not just a sent man. Joseph was a surrendered man as well. And that was the secret of why God could use him in such a mighty way. Because he was sent by God, but he was surrendered to God. And then last night, we looked at another aspect. What did Joseph do? As he surrendered, what else was essential for Joseph? He what? Trusted, didn't he? I was trying to get all of my descriptions to begin with S so that we could remember it better, but I couldn't figure out anything for trusted, so I just left it with trusted. He was trusting as well. Well, Joseph ends up in Egypt. Do you remember who Joseph ends up being purchased by? Potiphar. Who was Potiphar? Captain of the guard. Captain of the king's guard. Now, was that in God's providence? Definitely it was. God wanted Joseph to become familiar with Egypt, with its goings on, with the situation in Egypt. And so Potiphar, who was a captain of the king's guard, purchased him. But you know, there's another way that you could translate that, captain of the guard. You might have a marginal reference in your Bibles. You might not. Captain of the executioners. Now, does that sound very good? Joseph worked for Potiphar, who is a captain of the king's guard, but apparently he also dealt with executions. And Joseph had up to this point, could we agree that Joseph had a hard life up to this point? You know, we didn't even look at it, but even before Joseph was taken by his brothers and was sent into Egypt, there was something very sorrowful that happened to Joseph. Do you remember what happened? His mother died as she was giving birth to his youngest brother. Joseph had lost his mother, but not just had he lost his mother, then his brothers had taken him, sold him, and he ends up being a slave. Do you think Joseph could have felt sorry for himself? Is that ever easy to do, that we start to feel sorry for ourselves sometimes? This has gone wrong, and that's gone wrong, and something else has gone wrong. But I don't believe Joseph did that. But if you'd turn with me to Genesis chapter 39, things start to get better in Joseph's life. Maybe he even begins to forget some of the sorrows that had come upon him. Genesis chapter 39, verses 3 through 5. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So do things start, does the outlook get a little better here? Things are going well now, aren't they? Joseph has probably learned the language of Egypt. He's become familiarized with the custom there. Do you know it's pretty hard when you're by yourself, someplace where everybody speaks a different language? What do you feel like when you're in that situation? You feel all alone. The first time I was overseas by myself, and I was the only one from this country that was there, and I was going to be there about 3 months. And the first week, it was my first time really, and the first week I felt so alone and so homesick that literally I couldn't eat and I couldn't sleep. I mean, I slept some and I ate some, but not as much as I normally would. Just from the feeling all alone. Now, I wasn't a slave, and I had a plane ticket to go back. Joseph didn't have any of that. I am certain that Joseph felt all alone, except for his God. But Joseph is past that. He knows the ropes, so to speak, now. He knows the language. He knows the job that is required of him. And God is blessing his job. Whatever Joseph does, God blesses it. And others begin to recognize that if they put Joseph in charge of something, that he does such a good job, and God blesses it so much, that maybe they should just put him in charge of everything. And so he is. You remember the phrase that's later on in this chapter. It says that Potiphar trusted Joseph so much that he did not know what was in his house. All he knew was what he ate. He didn't know his bank account, if he had such a thing. He didn't know his inventory of the grain in the granaries. He trusted Joseph so much that he just let Joseph take care of everything. Just so long as he had food on his table, he was certain that everything else was fine. Patriarchs and Prophets says that Joseph became like a son rather than a slave. It was almost as if Joseph was adopted into the family. He was beginning to forget the trials and the sorrow that had marked his early life. But once again, there was a major, sudden, unexpected event in his life that changed everything. Verse 7 of Genesis 39. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Have you ever been caught off guard before? Maybe somebody asked you something and you didn't know what to say. Has that ever happened to you? I don't wish it upon any of you, but it's happened to me many times. And Just the very fact that you're caught off guard makes it difficult. Joseph is going about his work, and suddenly there's this powerful temptation that comes to him. Not of his own making. And what is he going to do? It's a sudden event. And once again, Joseph's destiny is hanging. There was the temptation of the passion there. There was the temptation because it was all of a sudden. And there was a temptation of fear of the unknown. Joseph knew his master, and he knew his master trusted him. But no doubt Joseph knew what his master's reaction would be if he was accused of this crime. Remember, who's he working for? Chief of the executioners. Joseph could have reasoned, nobody will know. And if I don't do this, then what's going to happen to me? Have you ever noticed that when we stop to, when we start reasoning things like that we're in danger? Have you noticed that? When we start to make excuses, when we start to think that maybe because of this and this and something else, maybe it would be okay, we're on very dangerous ground. But Joseph did not do that. And when we look at Joseph here, we can see, change positions. When we look at Joseph, yeah, that's the problem of changing positions. Not just the steps to victory in this temptation, but we can see steps to victory in any temptation that we are confronted with. The first thing, now we don't get this account from the Bible. Has anybody here ever been to Egypt? Okay, maybe one or two. Egypt was one of the more powerful nations of antiquity, but like many of the nations of antiquity, it was very demoralized. And you can see that from the relics still today. But as Joseph was there, surrounded by these demoralizing influences. By the way, are there a lot of demoralizing influences around us today? We live in a wicked world today, don't we? And our senses are bombarded, it seems like, wherever we turn. But Joseph was one, as one, who saw and heard not. The first step, even before Joseph was confronted with this situation, the first step was in victory was that, according to patriarchs and prophets, Joseph guarded his thoughts from the moment he entered Egypt. If Joseph had not done that, the story of Joseph would probably not be here. He had to guard his thoughts from the moment he entered there. And he determined that he was going to be true to God. And he was going to be true to God, not just in his outward actions, but he determined that he was going to be true to God in his thought processes as well. We find another aspect. Verse 10. No, not verse 10. Well, we'll go ahead and read verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Notice that last phrase there. What did it say that Joseph tried to do? To avoid her, right? He avoided temptation as much as possible. He guarded his thoughts, but he also did everything within his power to avoid temptation. Is that important for us in any area of temptation? Not only must we guard what we're thinking about, but we must guard that we do not place ourselves unnecessarily in any situation that could increase the temptation. Notice verse 9. Verse 9 is the tremendous verse of this passage. Actually, we'll read 8 and 9. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph's response is very telling here. Joseph says, my master trusts me. But not only does my master trust me, there's more than just that. What else did he say? Who else was watching? When we are tempted, we need to remember, and this is true in any temptation, we need to remember that we are not all alone. I read a definition of faith one time. There's lots of definitions of faith. Of course, there's the biblical definition. But a definition of faith is always realizing that my recording angel is right next to me. Always recognizing that I am being watched by all of heaven. Temptation frequently comes to us, sometimes when we're alone, other times when we are not around a support system that we have. Joseph had absolutely no support system in Egypt. Or did he? Did he have a support system? What was his support system? God. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Potiphar's wife said, nobody will ever know. It's not a problem. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And Joseph said, how can I sin against God? Joseph guarded his thoughts. His first step in victory there. Joseph avoided temptation, and Joseph recognized his accountability and that he was being watched by the God of heaven. You may clean your tents and be quiet when the trumpet sounds because you know that there's someone that's watching, right? Yes, but there's someone that's always watching, isn't there? And I want to notice one other aspect here. Verse 11 and 12. Verse 12 in particular. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and what did he do? Fled and got him out. Did Joseph stop to reason here? This was not a time to reason, was it? This was a time to flee. He had done everything he could. He had guarded his thoughts. He had avoided temptation. He had recognized that there is a heavenly watcher. And he recognized his accountability to God. But then he fled. Do we need to flee from temptation? What was Eve's problem? She did not flee. Do you know, when I think back in my life, and I think when, not in this area, but in other areas, when I have not fled from temptation, that's where a problem develops. Joseph fled. As we look at this, he knew he was leaving his garment. He knew that probably he was going to face his executioner master. But Joseph said, I would rather flee and be falsely accused than have everything smoothed over on the earth and have a guilty conscience. The description I have for Joseph here is not only was he a sent man, not only was he a surrendered man, not only was he a trusting man, but he was a steadfast man as well. He refused to buckle in to temptation. By following the steps that began years before the temptation came, by following those steps, he was victorious then. We must determine now, even if we're not faced with a overmastering temptation now, we must determine that by God's grace, we are going to be steadfast now. We need to recognize that God has called us, that God has sent us, that we are to surrender totally to God. But we must determine by resisting temptation that we are going to be steadfast men and women for God. I want to be that. God is calling us to be that. Do you want to be a steadfast man or woman for God? Let us determine we're going to follow, that we're going to heed Joseph's example here. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the victory that you gave to Joseph. And we're thankful that as he was a man of like passions as we are, that we can be victorious as well through you. And we pray that you will help us to have the determination, the steadfastness that Joseph had, that we may be living witnesses and representatives for you in this world. I pray for each young lady and each young man here that you'll bless each one in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.